Parshas Dvorim, Be'ezus Hashem, we will discuss tonight a little bit the upcoming Moed of Tisha B'Av. This week on Shabbos, we will be reading the final in the three-part series called the Gimel de Paronusa. The three-part series of punishment of which the Novi foretells the Churban HaBeis HaMikdash. Following which, next week, Be'ezus Hashem, after Tisha B'Av, we will begin a lengthy series, in fact, 7 weeks long, called the Shiva D'Nechemta, the 7 weeks of comforting. Following the Golus, we then talk about Nechama and Geula, 7 weeks that will take us all the way up to Rosh Hashanah Neyomim Neiroim, the forthcoming year, Aboleinu L'Teva. And the question that we'd like to address this evening is, wouldn't we just want to dive straight in to the Inyonim of Nechama, rather than looking back and discussing Churban and Golus, which we are in already? Wouldn't we just want to begin with Nechama, with comforting, reassessing, looking to the future rather than looking to the past? Why must we begin with detailed discussion of the Churban before we launch into what we really would like to dwell on, which is the Inyan of the Geula and Nechama? A similar question can be asked with regard to the kinnis that we say on Tisha B'Av morning. We spend a number of hours sitting on the floor, talking about the Beis HaMikdash, talking about Golus, and it is only towards the end of the kinnis, and more so when we get to Mincha time, that we add into our davening the bracha of Nachem, comforting. So once again, we begin by discussing destruction, Golus, Churban, and we only then arrive at a later stage to discussing Nechama. So once again, we could ask the question, why don't we just begin with Nechama? After all, we would like to look forward, surely, and not back. A third and final question is, next Shabbos, Yemetzeh Hashem, the Shabbos is called Shabbos Nachamu. And the reason it is called that is because the opening words in that particular week's Haftarah are indeed, Nachamu, Nachamu, Ami. Comfort my nation. But the word Nachamu is repeated. It doesn't say Nachamu once, it in fact says it twice. Nachamu, Nachamu, Ami. And the question that is discussed by the Mefarshim is indeed, why does it mention a double dosage of comfort? Nachamu, Nachamu. So some suggest it's merely for poetical reasons, or more particularly to stress, to emphasize the point. But there must be perhaps an alternative explanation what it is that the Novi means when he says, Nachamu, Nachamu Ami. So these are really the issues that we'd like to discuss this evening. First and foremost, why is it that both in the series of Haftarahs and also in the Kinnos on Tisha B'Av, we discuss at great length and in detail the Inyan of the Churban, the destruction of the Beis HaMikdash, and only then do we move on and we look forward to the future and we talk about Nechama, Geula? Why don't we just begin with that from the outset? And secondly, this puzzling expression, Nachamu, Nachamu Ami, why the double lashon? So it is well known, we're not going to discuss that this evening, maybe on another occasion. Chazal tell us that they sinned in double fashion. They got punished in double fashion, and they get comforted in double fashion, which is a whole discussion in and of itself. But there is a Medrash, and the Medrash is to be found in Parshas Tzav. And the Medrash says, Kol Hanavim, all of the prophets prophesized in the singular form. That's when they talk about Churban. Ve'es Nechomois, but when they talk about the comfort of Geula, Nechomois Kefulois. It's always doubled over. Uri, Uri. Hisoireri, Hisoireri. Sois, Osis. And finally, Nachamu, Nachamu. There seems to be something inherent in this double Lashon, as the Medrash points out, that whereas other subjects are discussed in the singular, Nechama is always discussed in the double Lashon. Nachamu, Nachamu Ami. What does this mean? What can we learn from this? So I'd like to share with you very profound words, Kedarkei Bakodesh, of the Maharal, in one of his many Sforim, Netzach Yisrael, and we'll try, Be'ezras Hashem, to explain a little bit what the Maharal may mean, and how we can relate it to our own Tisha B'Av Avodah this year of Tovshin Pei. I think we all know the well-known story at the end of the Gemara in Makkos. These are the closing words of the Gemara in Makkos. Let's learn the story together. The Tanoim were making their way, walking towards Yerushalayim Er HaKodesh. And when they get close, they see a shul, which means a fox, makes its way out of the Kodesh Kodoshim of all places. And some of the Tanoim, not surprisingly, began crying. Puzzlingly, Rabbi Akiva, the great Rabbi Akiva, began laughing. And so they said to him, Rabbi Akiva, Mipnei ma ata mitzachek? Why are you laughing? This doesn't seem to be a source of hilarity to see a fox coming out of the Kodesh Kodshim. Why are you laughing? And even stranger, without so much as answering the question, he bounces the question back and he says to them, tell me, Mipnei ma atem boichim? Why are you crying? They answered back and they said, how can we not cry? The Kodesh Kodshim, about which it's written that any non-Kohen who enters is immediately punishable by death. And here we see a lowly fox, an animal, crawling its way out of the Kodesh Kodshim. Should we not cry? So he answered to them three profound words. Lekach ani mitzachek. Lekach ani mitzachek. That's why I'm laughing. Rabbi Akiva knew full well why they were crying. So why did he ask them then? The answer is because he wanted them to enunciate exactly what it was, the tragedy that they saw in front of their eyes, for him to be able to follow up and say, Lekach ani mitzachek, you have answered your own question. That is precisely the reason why I'm laughing. And he explained. He says, they were a group of Edim, testifiers, witnesses. One was called Uriah HaKoyen, and one was called Zechariahu. It's a posuk. The posuk refers to these two Nevi'im as Edim, a group of Edus. Says Rabbi Akiva, that's very peculiar. Because they didn't even live at the same time at all. One lived at the Bayis Rishon, and one lived in the Bayis Sheni. How can they possibly be referred to as a group of Edim, a cat Edus. And he explained, what glues them together are their two prophecies. One of them said, the Nevuah of Uriah says, he foretells the Churban, of how the Beis HaMikdash will be destroyed. The other half of that coin is the Nevuah of Zechariah, in which he says, Oid Yeshvu Zekeinim or Zekeinois, the beautiful and moving Nevuah, in which he foretells the day that people will be sitting, even elderly people, not afraid, in the streets of Yerushalayim. The small children, the boys and the girls will be playing out there in the streets with not a care in the world. Says Rabbi Akiva, as long as the Nevuah about the Churban had not yet been fulfilled, the Nevuah about the Geula could not be fulfilled either. That's why they're called Edim. They do come together, albeit not chronologically. They didn't live at the same time. But when one foretells the Churban, and I've seen it here, I've seen the fox coming out of the Kodesh Kodshim, that now fills me with confidence that we can now see the fulfillment of the second prophecy, which is the streets of Yerushalayim will be inhabited by those without a care in the world at the Zman of Geula. As long as I didn't see that first Nevuah fulfilled, who's to say that the second one will be fulfilled? Now that I see the fruition of that first Nevuah, Lakach ani metzachik, for the very reason that you're crying, you see the tragedy. But I see amidst the tragedy, and because of the tragedy, I see the upcoming Geula. That's why I'm crying. And they turned round to him and they said, Omruloi, Akiva, Nichamtonu, Akiva, Nichamtonu, you have comforted us. And those are the closing words of Masechtas Makos. The Gemara, as moving as it is, still needs a lot of explanation. We've all learned that what does it mean to be two Edim? The number one definition and property of a group of Edus is that they both testify about the same thing. If you have two Edim talking about two different things, then by definition they cannot be considered a cut Edus. So what does it mean that Uriah and Zechariah are considered Edim? Never mind that they lived during different periods. They're not talking about the same thing at all. One is testifying about Churban, Golus, and one is testifying about the Geula. The two couldn't be further removed. How can they possibly be considered a group of witnesses? So let me share with you this Maral. The Maral, as we know, speaks in profound Lashon, and we need to try and understand his words. But he says as follows, Ho'echod meid al hasheni. One testifies, one complements the other. Ki haheder, which means the absence, ki sibas hahavaya, is actually the reason behind the existence. The absence creates the existence. The lack of creates the ability to be. Ve'im ein kan heder, if there is no absence of, then there cannot be either a havaya, an existence of. What it means, Uriah and Zechariah, do you know why they're considered Edim? The question was, they're not talking about the same thing at all. And the answer is, in the opinion of the Maral, they are talking about the same thing. because you cannot have one without the other. Geula is a product of Golus. Or in the words of the Maral, Golus, Heder, the absence of, the lack of the Beis HaMikdash, is what brings about the Havaya, the existence of the Beis HaMikdash. Eidusam, Eidus, Achas, Legamri. They are absolutely one set of Eidus, says the Maharal. These are very deep words. Haheder hi sibas hahavaya. The absence, the lack of, the destruction, the churban is what brings about the geula. Let's try and explain a little bit. We sometimes understand, and maybe misunderstand, how the process of golus and geula works. Golus is destruction, churban, utter destruction. So we think to ourselves, so what's geula? When everything is pieced back together, Baruch Hashem, we're back to square one. Everything has been fixed up. If we look at it like that, then basically we could have done fine and well without having the churban in the first place. Because then we would never have necessitated a geula. After all, we've only come back to where we started in the first place. If that's the case, there indeed is no need to dwell on the churban. The churban, the destruction, was an unfortunate and tragic event, which we're hoping will be fixed up and everything will be restored to its former glory. The Maral is teaching us that is not the science, that is not the mechanics of Golus and Geula. Geula is not just a fix-it job. Like somebody who has a headache, so he takes medication, the headache goes away, and he's back to square one. Everything has been restored. Somebody who takes medication for having a headache certainly wishes that he never had a headache in the first place. He would have never needed to take the medication. And anyway, the medication has just brought him back to where he was half an hour ago. The Maral tells us that you cannot have geula and everything that is brought about together with geula without the prerequisite, the precondition of golus. Rabbeinu Yoino, one of the Rishonim, in his famous sefer Sharei Tshuva, I think says exactly the same. He says it in the following three words: Hachoshech Sibas Ha'oira, the darkness brings about the light. The Maral phrased it, the absence of brings about the existence of. Rabbeinu Yoino phrases it, darkness brings about light. But Rabbeinu Yoino adds a few words, and maybe this helps us understand what the Maral means. Because Rabbeinu Yoino, in one line, he quotes a pasuk in the Novi. The Novi in Micha says, Ki nofalti kamti. I fell and I picked myself up. And you know what the Medrash says on those words? Had I not fallen, I would have never have picked myself up. As Rabbeinu Yoino says, if not for the darkness, there would have been no light. What does that mean? If I wouldn't have fallen, I would never have picked myself up. That's true, but I would have preferred that I wouldn't have fallen in the first place. The Maral and Rabbeinu Yoino are teaching us a tremendous yesod, and this should really reshape the way we look at the whole Moed of Tisha B'Av. Geula is not a fix-up job, in which we try and delete brush over the Churban, everything will be restored to its former glory, and Baruch Hashem, we're back to where we began. No, we have moved onwards. We have achieved Geula. We could never have achieved Geula had we not undergone the process called Golus, which is that necessary prerequisite for Geula. The Chassam Sofer, in his drushes for Chanukah, points out that when we daven and we say on Purim and on Chanukah, al Anisim, va'al ha-Teshuais, and then we say, va'al ha-Milchomois. Why are we thanking HaKadosh Baruch Hu for the battles? I understand that once you get yourself into battle, you need a Yeshua. You need a miracle. So I thank HaKadosh Baruch Hu for that. But why am I thanking for the Milchomois? Wouldn't I have been far better off had there been no Milchoma in the first place? The Chassam Sofer uses remarkably parallel words to the Maral. It's almost identical. And he says, Haheder koidem lahavaya. Word for word the same. The absence before the existence. And the Chassam Sofer teaches us a history lesson. It's always been that way. The great Kabbalas HaTorah was preceded by the darkness of Golus Mitzrayim. The Bayis Sheni, the Beis HaMikdash, was preceded by Golus Yavon. The great miracles at the time of Mordechai, preceded by the terrible tragedy of Haman and Achashverosh. And then he says, and eventually the prophecies of all the Nevuos that will Be'ezras Hashem be realized La'osid Lovoi are preceded by the difficult parasha of Golus. So he says, I must thank HaKadosh Baruch Hu for the Milchomois. Had there not been a Milchoma, there wouldn't have been a Nisim, a Teshuois, a Niflois. There cannot be a Geula without the Churban. When we sit and we celebrate Geula, the Leil HaSeder, we thank HaKadosh Baruch Hu for taking us out of Mitzrayim. Shouldn't we all be asking ourselves a question, one moment, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, you were the one who put us in Mitzrayim in the first place. Wouldn't we just simply have been better off had we never arrived there? We wouldn't have had to undergone 210 years of Shibud. And then it's true, there would be no Geula necessary. What is it exactly that we're celebrating? Can you imagine that somebody approaches his friend and he gives him a mighty blow, inflicts terrible damage, and he says, but don't worry, I have good news for you. I know how to heal you as well. And he performs surgery on him and he saves him. Will his friend say to him, thank you so much for the surgery, you've saved my life? What do you mean? You were the one who injured me and got me into trouble in the first place. We would have been far better off had you not injured me, thus never necessitating the life-saving surgery. So why did HaKadosh Baruch Hu put us in Mitzrayim just to take us out of Mitzrayim, and then we thank HaKadosh Baruch Hu for taking us out of Mitzrayim? The answer is that our moshel was perhaps a little bit unfair. It's true. If Reuven approaches Shimon and without any rhyme or reason injures him and then heals him, well, there's no real necessity to thank him for healing him. Why did you injure me in the first place? But imagine if Reuven happens to know that Shimon is suffering from a serious illness, and Shimon himself does not realize it. And Reuven knows the only way that this illness will be cured is by injuring him in some certain way. That injury saved the day. Then he heals him as well, his friend indeed does turn around and say to him, thank you so much for saving my life. Not, well, I would have been better off had you not injured me. To the contrary, I thank you not only for healing me, but I thank you also for that initial injury. I thank you for that because I realize that without it, I only just now learned that I was suffering from a life-threatening illness that would have finished me off. So I don't just thank for the fact that you healed me. I thank you for the fact that you injured me, without which you could never have brought about that final healing. That healing has not merely brought me back to square one. It's advanced me. It's brought me back to life. I wouldn't have had it otherwise. That's what the Chasam Sofer is saying. When HaKadosh Baruch Hu inflicts a nisayon or a tzara upon us, and then it is taken away, what we're thanking for is not just Baruch Hashem, we're back to square one. We thank HaKadosh Baruch Hu for the tzara as well. The tzara came at the nip of time, right at the correct time. And had it not come then who's to say what would happen to this person or to this nation? Indeed, the Hatzalah came exactly at the right time. And that's what the Chasam Sofer is saying. The Pasuk in Tehillim, Oid cha ki ani soni, I thank HaKadosh Baruch Hu for having inflicting me. Inui, ini soni. I'm thanking HaKadosh Baruch Hu for inflicting me? I understand that I thank HaKadosh Baruch Hu for saving me. Says the Chasam Sofer that no, the heder koidem lahavaya. I had to go through the process of absence followed by existence. In fact, it's been pointed out that the word miracle in Lashon HaKodesh is Nes. And Nes stands for Nun Nefila, falling. Samach Smicha, resurrecting. You cannot have one without the other. When I thank HaKadosh Baruch Hu for the Nes, I'm not just thanking for the Samach, I'm thanking for the preceding Nun as well. Because without it, I would have never have been Zoicha to the Samach, the Smicha afterwards. If that's the case, I think we can come back now to the Haftarah next week. Nachamu, Nachamu, Ami. The double comfort. What's the double comfort? Do you know what the double comfort is? We're comforted in the fact that there will be a Geula. We're comforted also by the fact that there was the preceding Churban. Because without it, we would never have been Zeicha to the Geula. When Klal Yisrael were in tragic, terrible spiritual state, and HaKadosh Baruch Hu brings about that Golus is the injury inflicted on somebody suffering from a life-threatening disease. The Golus saved Klal Yisrael. Of course, we want to get out of the Golus. We want to arrive at the Geula. But the Golus was the catalyst. It was the prerequisite to arrive at the Geula. Nachamu, Nachamu. We thank HaKadosh Baruch Hu, as the Chasam Sofer tells us, not just for the Niflois and the Chuois, but also for the Milchomois. Nachamu, Nachamu Ami. It's a double dosage of comfort. We are comforted by the fact there will be Geula. We are comforted by the fact that there was a Golus which brought about that Geula. And how remarkable it is that in that very Gemara that we began with, when Rabbi Akiva tells the other Tanoim, I saw one Nevuah, I saw the others, and I realized that the two are contingent on each other, how did they respond? They said, Akiva nichamtanu, Akiva Nichamtonu. They said it twice. Why did they say Nichamtonu twice? Remarkable. Do you know what the Marasha says on those words? He says, Kimotzinu, because we have found Kol Hanachomois Beloshen Kofel. Comfort always comes as a double expression. Nachamu, Nachamu, Ami. Those are the words of the Marasha. The incredible parallel, that's exactly what Rabbi Akiva was teaching these other Tanoim. Why are you crying? Because we see destruction. That's why I'm laughing. Are you happy in seeing destruction? No. But I understand that destruction brings resurgence. Ha-heh-dar hi-sibas ho-avaya. Or as Rabbeinu Yoina put it, the choshech is the sibo of the oira. And if you only understand, says Rabbi Akiva, the science of churban and geula, you'll realize that amidst the tragedy, you see the geula. To which they said, nichamtonu, nichamtonu. Nachamu, nachamu, ami. And that's why you cannot launch straight into the haftarahs that talk about Nechama without initially discussing Churban. You cannot on Tisha B'Av launch into the tefillah of Nachem without first sitting on the floor and bemoaning and describing the Churban, because one brings about the other. You cannot have one without the other. That's all our questions answered. We asked, why indeed do we not simply begin talking about the Nechama? Why must we even get stuck in the past? Can't we look forward to the future? No, we can't. It is the past, it is that churban that brings about the geula of the future. You cannot have one without the other. And in hindsight, we therefore look back and we say, we need to thank HaKadosh Baruch Hu for both. Nachamu, nachamu, ami. What a profound lesson the Maharal is teaching us, not just about Golus and Geula in general, but about our own day-to-day lives. Ki nofalti kamti. I fell, but I picked myself up. And looking back in hindsight, I'm so glad that I fell, because that propelled me to greater heights which otherwise I would never have been capable of reaching in the first place. So I look back and I say to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, thank you for allowing me to fall. Had life just continued swimmingly, with not a care in the world, then what would have projected me? What would have propelled me to reach higher levels in Avodas Hashem? But sometimes you slip up. Sometimes HaKadosh Baruch Hu presents us difficulties. Of course, we want to get out of those difficulties. But in the honesty and with the benefit of hindsight, we look back and we say, Ki nofalti kamti. I didn't grow despite falling. Rather, I grew precisely because I fell. And it is in those moments of darkness that all of us invariably and inevitably experience from time to time. When things are not going well, our personal lives, our financial lives, our health, our avodas Hashem, it is precisely at those moments when the Yetzer Hara rubs his hands with glee. You're on a downward trend. How easy it is for me just to push you over and topple you over the cliff. That's when we need to grab a hold of ourselves and say, no, ki nofalti kamti. Let me make sure that this yerida is letzeirech ho'aliyah. Aren't we the nation that follows the moon, that waxes and wanes every month? It disappears, gets smaller and smaller, and can't be seen. And then, a resurgence once again. A hischachus, Rosh Chodesh. We begin again. That's our secret. I remember when I was in Gates at Yeshiva, one of the Rosh HaYeshiva, Rabbi Israel Rosenbaum, Shlita. He described a little, tiny little vignette. But he said himself how much Musa can be learned from this. He said he was once walking along the slippery, icy streets of Gateshead, holding his three-year-old son's hand. And they were walking carefully through the snow and the ice. And Rabbi Israel described, he said, I suddenly noticed that I was no longer holding my little Moishi's hand. What's happened? So I stopped, I turned round, and I looked back and I see 5 yards behind me is little Moishi sitting down on the ice. And I said to him, Moishi, what's happened to you? He said, I've fallen over and I don't know what to do now. And Rabbi Israel said to him, you don't know what to do. Get up and carry on. And Rabbi Israel said to us, if I would have been the Mashkiach of the yeshiva, I would have built an entire Musa Shmuz on that. I've fallen and I don't know what to do now. Shteyoif ungeweiter, he said. You stand up, you brush yourself down, and you realize, ki nofalti kamti. I pick myself up, not despite falling, but because I've fallen, I will come out better as a result. That is the secret of Tisha B'Av. We must discuss the golos. We must describe the utter destruction, because we realize ha-heder is the sibas ho-avaya. The absence of creates the existence of. The choshech creates the oir. This can never have been more relevant, I think, than this year. Tisha B'Av is not always an easy day to connect to. Undoubtedly, we have to prepare ourselves and our families for Tisha B'Av. But it's still a difficult day to connect to. I think this year, Tov Shi'en Peh, it will be easier than ever, tragically, to connect to the Tisha B'Av that's just only round the corner. We know what it means to be thrown out of shul. We now know what it means to be thrown out of kollel, thrown out of yeshiva. We know what it means for HaKadosh Baruch Hu to say, I'll have the key back, please. Thank you very much. Stay at home and think what's happened to you. So when we sit on the floor in a week's time, we can connect. We can understand what Churban is all about. And we look back at our own Churban, only 2 or 3 months ago, and we haven't really left it yet, certainly not here in Eretz Yisrael. And we realize that HaKadosh Baruch Hu threw us out and said to us, think what's happened to you. Work it out. And when you finally figure it out, you'll be able to come back. But you'll come back as a better person for it. And then you'll turn around and you'll thank HaKadosh Baruch Hu, not just for being allowed back in the Beis HaMedrash, but you'll thank HaKadosh Baruch Hu for having been thrown out of the Beis HaMedrash in the first place. Because the Choshech is the Sibas Ha'oiro. The darkness brings about the light. How often have I heard in the last few months this terrible expression, let's hope that everything will be improved and things will get back to normal. Chas v'shalom if things get back to normal. The last thing we want is things to get back to normal. We want things to improve. We want to be propelled to higher levels in Avodas Hashem, not despite, but because of these dark times that we find ourselves in. And when that happens, we will look back and we will say that we understand the Choshech brings about the Oir. And through the tragedy, through the darkness we will see the light. And we will indeed say, Nachamu, Nachamu Ami. HaKadosh Baruch Hu, you've comforted us. We have so much to be grateful for, not just for the Geula, but also for the initial Golus. As we turn out the lights on Tisha B'Av, Ki b'machashakim hoyishivani, as we sit in the darkness, but then we will bring about Menachem Av. And from that darkness, Be'ezus Hashem will make our way to Chodesh Elul, LeDovid Hashem Oiri V'Yishi. Having sat through the darkness, we will look forward through the light, and eventually we'll arrive at Yomim Noiroim, in which we'll say, Oir Zorua La Tzadik Ule Yishrei Leiv Simcha. We understand that Tisha B'Av, sitting on the floor, the time for introspection, is what ultimately prepares us for Elul and for Yomim Noiroim. And when we arrive at Yomim Noiroim and we look back, truly having understood what HaKadosh Baruch Hu has sent us this year, nationally and internationally, we hopefully will be allowed back, restored to the Koilalim, to the Yeshivas, to the Beis HaMedrash, to the Beis HaKnesses. And then, Be'ezras Hashem, we will say indeed, Nichamtonu, Nichamtonu, Nachamu, Nachamu Ami, may Be'ezras Hashem be, B'mehira V'yomenu, Amen.